Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with Repack. Does your business use the three bin system? Learn more about your legal recycling obligations at repack.ie.
Now, in the Green Scene today, the effect of extreme heat on our mental health. But first, nature fights back in the battle of the bobcat and the python. We're joined by Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland. Ruth, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
I didn't know they were even enemies.
Well, and I mean, we think we've talked about invasive species here, and we have plenty that are a problem. But give a thought to the poor Floridians, because their invasive species problem is the Burmese python. And it's estimated that there could be up to 300,000 pythons in the Everglade area. Now, they probably got there from pets that were released or escaped. But there's also a sort of story that a reptile breeding centre was destroyed in a hurricane in the 1990s. Okay. And that it's like the start of a horror film. But I mean, these pythons are doing very well. There's loads of prey for them in the Everglades, raccoons and all sorts of things that they can eat. But it is a problem because it is decimating the ecosystem there. And there's lots of programs in place to try and get rid of these pythons. So there's programs to remove them, to euthanize them. And one of the things that people who are trying to remove them do is they have what they call scout snakes. And these are male pythons. Mm-hmm. And they're tagged. And they send them out into the Everglades because they will find a fertile female python. And a female python can lay up to 100 eggs.
Oh, my goodness.
So the multiplier effect is quite considerable. So what they do then is they follow the scout snake and they euthanize the female before she has her 100 babies. But this scout snake, whose name was Loki, they were following him. And they found him, but not as he had left them. He had, in fact, lost his head. It had been removed by something or somebody. So they set up cameras and they waited to see what would happen. And what they found, the culprit was a bobcat, this sort of a wild cat that lives in the Everglades. So they did not know that a bobcat could take on this enormous snake, but it looks like they potentially can. The bobcat came back to finish the meal. So this is just interesting because it's the first time we've seen it. There's been a few accounts of alligators getting hold of these pythons, but it just shows it's maybe not all going the way of the python in the Everglades.
But still, 100 eggs a pop. I don't know what the gestation period for a female python is, but you could see how this thing and how soon then the young python can reproduce.
Exactly. So I mean, they will be looking at millions of python if they don't get this under control. So they've only got about 17,000 out in the last couple of years.
How often do native species manage to fight back?
So we've seen a few examples now. One of them, the lionfish, anyone who's dived has seen these venomous fish. They have really spread their territory into the Atlantic. But we're now seeing things like groupers, moray eels and even sharks learning how to eat them without getting poisoned. We're seeing woodpeckers in North America. They're changing their foraging to feed on the larvae of an invasive beetle that they never ate before. And again, we know that the very clever crow, we've talked about it, they flip the cane toad in Australia so they can attack the underbelly but avoid the poison on top. So it's not going all the way of the invasive species, but it's another way to highlight the importance of the issue.
Now, talk to me about extreme heat and mental health. I mean, we often hear about heat waves, say in Paris, for example, a few years back when many elderly people couldn't tolerate the heat and died.
Yeah.
But now we're not talking about physical health, but mental health.
We're talking about mental health, and that's because there's been a new study which has looked at heat health action plans, 83 different plans from 24 countries around the world. And these plans cover about a quarter of the world's population. And what researchers have found that while three quarters of the plans mention mental health, only about one in five had any interventions for mental health in times of extreme heat. And this is really, really important because the effects of heat on the brain, we are only starting to really understand. I mean, some of them are linked to physical symptoms like weakness and dizziness and dehydration. Obviously, that impacts on your brain. But we know now that we're seeing a worsening of many mental health conditions in heat. So we're seeing faster progression of things like dementia and Alzheimer's when people are exposed continually to higher than sort of comfortable ambient temperature. Researchers are now tracking an increase in things like seizures. You know, really worryingly, for every 1 degree rise, we're seeing an increase in suicide rates, as much as up to 2% in some countries. In Mexico, they report an increase of 2% with 1 degree rise. And there's even concern that this is impacting the most vulnerable. So the very old, as you mentioned, and people with conditions, but even the unborn. So high, you know, heat stress potentially during pregnancy may have links to poorer mental health outcomes for those children.
Now, we all know that your sleep can be disturbed when, you know, it's hot, stinking hot. It doesn't happen very often in Ireland, but still you cast off the duvet and you just, the sheet or whatever, and even then you feel too hot.
Absolutely. And sleep, you know, the more we understand about sleep, the more critical, you know, we understand it to be to have good mental health and to avoid and stave off mental illness. And absolutely, heat is a big disruptor of our sleep. But we also see things like when you look at hospital admissions, there's a significant increase in the number of admissions related to mental health conditions during heat. So this is something we need to keep an eye on. As you say, we're lucky we don't have too much of it here, but we need to start planning for these things.
What about homicides?
Yep, aggressive behaviour, even things like road rage go up. So all of that is part of us living now with increased temperatures. And we are facing into, once again, the warmest year on record. So we've been saying that every year now for about 4 years. So we need to start thinking about preparing our services and preparing people to maybe be aware of this, first of all, and then think about the impact on our mental health during
heat. We know we all should hydrate during times of extreme heat, because if you don't hydrate, your blood thickens and that can have...
Exactly. And look, the physical and mental impacts are not unlinked, of course. If you're feeling worse, you're more likely to be agitated, you're more likely to suffer all of those other impacts. But just staying cool. And of course, in Ireland, as you say, we don't have a huge need for air conditioning, but in other countries they do. And of course, those without access to proper air conditioning, need to be provided with it. So we're seeing in some European countries now, cooling centres been set up so that if you don't have air conditioning in your home, you can go to some centralised place like a library or somewhere where you can stay cool.
And it's amazing, like in places like Disney in Florida, they have these just basically droplets of
sort of mist
water.
Showers.
Mist. You walk through mist regularly, and it's amazing how quickly that mist evaporates from you instantly, almost.
I know, wouldn't it be incredible if we had to have those in Dublin City or Cork?
Well, yeah, it'll come. It'll come. Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland, thank you very much.